Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
And good morning to you. Welcome to Smart Garden. And with me this morning is our friend Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota Extension. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Denny. Good to be on your show again.
Oh, it's good to hear from you as always. And as always, we're already getting text messages and calls, which is not unusual. I guess we can do this probably and do 52 weeks a year and still talk lawns and gardens. Am I right about that?
You are certainly right. It's always great to be gardening, and there's always things to talk about with plants in our lives. I can't believe it's already fall, and we can talk about garden cleanup and harvesting the last of our vegetables.
Oh, very good. Yeah, in fact, while we're chatting, I want to invite our listeners to join in. If you want to call in and talk with Mary, or just send a text, 651-989-9226. That's the number that'll get you either the text or the phone call. Same number, 651-989-9226. Mary, we got a text early, and I mean really early this morning for you, about is it too late to plant grass seed? What do you think?
I would do it today. Do it as soon as possible, because we like to plant grass seed by September 15th. So we are definitely past the prime time. We have had a milder fall the last few years, so maybe you would have good germination now. If you can't do it in the can't do it today, then I would say wait till early November and do a dormant seeding. So we have a lawn care calendar up on our extension website, which shows you the timing to do everything for your lawn. And fall is the prime time to seed, but we are really at the end of it. And if we have cold weather and not a good month of establishment weather, then you could lose the seeding if you do it now.
Yeah, I think we talk about that from time to time, and I think that's what I'm going to do. I was going to plant some more, but you're right. If it starts to germinate and we have bad weather, well, cold weather, that's kind of a waste of money and a waste of seed. So I think dormant seeding may be the next, at least on my calendar. But that's good that you can check it out on the website. That's a great. It's always a great resource anyway. All right, let's go back to the phones. I think Mike in Minneapolis may be first up here. Mike, you're on with Mary Meyer. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Love your show.
Thank you.
So I did an aeration with overseeding. When can and if I can put down weed killer in the weeks to come?
Well, putting down weed killer is not so much a function at this point of the state of your grass as it is the temperatures for the chemicals to work properly. So, you know, you could do it right now if you're, you know, if you have the product and so on. But it's the temperature that will really activate that chemical. So on the bag, it will tell you and talk about that. Usually if we have temperatures below 50, 55, a lot of those chemicals, herbicides will not work. And the other hand, if we have temperatures that are above 85 in the 90s, again, the chemicals don't work that well. So the timing with temperatures is one thing, and then plant growth is kind of the secondary thing. So I would say if you don't have a lot of weeds, you may have missed the prime time for treatment.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. John in Bloomington, I believe, is next up here. Then we'll grab some text messages. John, you're on with Mary.
Hi, good morning. I live in a condominium complex, West Bloomington, built in 1987. Last week, they cut down about 18 mature trees in the entire complex, not because they were diseased, but because when they built the complex, I think they were planted too close to the building, and they were just getting too big. My question is, once the stumps are ground out and gone, can we plant new trees back in the same hole, or do we have to move them over? Or, and when's a good time to put in new trees?
You can plant the trees at the same location where there were trees before. But remember now, you just told me that the reason they cut them down, they were too close to the building. So you want to think about what size tree you plant in this location again, because what was planted there before didn't work out. So there are small trees, large trees. I would encourage you to plant a diversity of species and not all the same thing. This time of year, we're really getting on the edge with mature tree planting. So I would urge you to do some research and decide what you're going to plant and then do the planting in the spring. You can plant bare root plants, and that's a good way to go. Containers also are fine. So I would encourage a diversity of species and really think about the location and the size because of the fact that you just had 18 removed from this location. You don't want to repeat that same problem.
Okay. There's a text, Mary. It says, I planted Joe Pye weed a couple of months ago, was told to water liberally. How long do I need to keep watering?
Well, I would say you want to water once a week and water well. Ideally, we like to see 1 inch of water on our plants on a weekly basis. And we had a wet season pretty much through August this year. But now September has been the exact opposite. We are actually in dry conditions for much of the state. And any new plants that went in this year really should be watered well. It's really dangerous to go into the winter with drought conditions for plants. So I'm hoping that through October we have sufficient rain. If we do not, this will really predispose a lot of our plants to get through the winter and come out and be healthy. So watering is important for all of our newly planted things this summer.
Boy, it is really dry around here. Wow. I'll tell you what, Mary, we need to take a break. We have more show to come on our Smart Garden Show around every Saturday here in the 8 o'clock hour. 651-989-9226. That's our phone number. It's also our text number. And we'll grab a bunch of those when we come back here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on WCCO. Denny Long on this end with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota helping you out this morning. Mary, as usual, a ton of callers and the same amount of text. But, you know, you brought up a point about this time of year. What can we do? Cleaning up, get the last of our harvesting done? What give us some idea.
Yes, Denny. So in a vegetable garden, cleaning up is really important. There are so many diseases that we have and deal with every year, but especially things like tomatoes, potatoes, cucumbers, zucchini, the squashes. Once you have harvested the fruits off these plants, our tomatoes are pretty much on the last leg now, peppers. You need to harvest the fruits and then completely clean up the plants. Any diseased foliage that's in the garden will perpetuate disease for the next year. So you want to put that into the compost pile, preferably a municipal compost pile, because that gets really good and hot and will kill those diseases. Even cleaning up fruits, you know, if you've got apple trees, plum trees, you're harvesting those, clean up all those diseased apples, dropped apples from the ground. That, again, can perpetuate disease. So it's really good to clean up. Sometimes our squashes, things like the winter squashes, we're just starting to harvest those. Early acorn squashes might be fully ripe at this point, but some of our other winter squashes and pumpkins often take the whole growing season. So unless they're really the mature color on the fruit, you want to leave those as long as possible, but then clean up those vines as well.
Very good. Let's go back to the phones, Mary, then we'll pick up on text messages. Gary is calling in from St. Louis Park this morning. Gary, you're on with Mary. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Mary. Good morning, Denny. Say, Mary, I've got a couple of well-established yews on either side of my front steps. They're about 5 feet tall and doing well. But one of them now has a bunch of tiny little red berries about the size, maybe a little smaller than a pea. Can you tell me what I've never seen them before this year, what I'm dealing with there?
Yes, Gary, those are the fruits on the yew. It's a normal process that they produce fruit. It's actually a good sign, a healthy sign. Those are poisonous berries, so if you have any kids or dogs and so on, you want to make sure that they don't eat those. But it's a good, healthy sign that your yews are doing well.
Well, that's good news. Yeah, thanks, Gary.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call. Gordy is also on the line, calling in from Cambridge this morning. Gordy, you are on with Mary.
Yeah, can I lift iris tubers, trim them, and hold them over winter until planting next spring?
You know, Gordy, I have never done that with iris. I've always replanted them right after I've dug them. In late summer, they go into a dormancy, and then that's a good time to dig and divide them or reset them. But I don't know that they would live out of the soil for the whole winter. Maybe some of our listeners have done that, but I would say that's pretty risky, because when you have a plant that is out of its soil or out of ability to get moisture, it tends to just dehydrate and die. So a certain amount of time it will be dormant, but after that dormancy will come death. And I don't know how long you can do that. So if you have no choice, you could try it, but ideally you would want to replant them.
Okay. Thank you, Gordy. Texter wants to know, when's the best time to prune Engelmann vine? Best time.
Well, that Engelmann ivy, that's a big grower, usually now with fall color. So that's usually very pretty, or will be shortly. I would actually do that in the springtime. This is probably one of the worst times right now to prune almost anything. It's a tough time because we're getting ready for winter. Plants are thinking about slowing down and going into winter, and pruning stimulates growth. So there's very few things I would prune right now. So I would wait till spring to do that. That's a healthy, vigorous plant that I would prune that in the spring, and you can almost not over prune that.
You mentioned spring. A listener said, my lilacs are blooming. Must it be spring?
I saw that the other day. I saw a lilac blooming. Yeah, that's kind of amazing. I think what brought that on was the cold weather. You know, we had lots of moisture, good growing conditions, and then we had the cold weather, and did the lilac think winter had already happened? yes, we wish that had already happened, but no, I think that's just the environmental conditions. If you look closely at lilacs, you will see that they have big buds on them. They have set their flower buds for next year. And this was a case where in this plant, and the one I looked at, those flower buds came out. And so occasionally we do see that happen. So there's probably not another flower bud right behind that one. But most of our lilacs, hopefully their buds are holding for next spring.
I hope so, too. I just want to alert Jerry and Steve on the phone. You're going to be next up here, so don't go away. Have a cup of coffee or something. We'll have a look at our forecast in a moment. But I want to grab this text, and I know you're a specialist with grasses, too, Mary, among other things. But this texter said they planted 33. Is it Hakone? Is it a Japanese type of grass?
Hakone grass.
About 3 weeks ago. How do I best protect them over the winter? I'm going to mulch with wood chips this week. What do you think?
I think watering them is really critical. Hakone grass is a beautiful, slow-growing. It is native to Japan. I just planted some new plants of that in my garden, and I have been watering them because of the drier conditions. So I think watering is as critical as the mulch. So the wood chip mulch, you just want to be careful you don't bury these plants in that wood chip mulch. You can lightly mulch around them. Wood chips, you might end up having to put on nitrogen because the drawdown, as that breaks down with the amount of nitrogen needed to actually reduce those wood chips into mulch. But just make sure that you do watering, because that's as critical as mulching.
Very good. All right, Mary, we're going to take our usual bottom of the hour break. And welcome back this Saturday morning to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, and from the U of M, Mary Meyer helping you out today. And Mary, as usual, a lot of callers and a lot of texters. Let's see if we can't help out as many as we can. Jerry, I think, is first up here in Savage. Thank you for waiting, Jerry. What's your question?
Hello, Mary. This is Jerry. My question is about voles. Is there something I can spread or put in my yard to keep voles out? Last year I had to put in about a yard and a half of black dirt to fix all the vole trails, and just wondering what could possibly be done yet this year.
Well, I wish there was an easy answer for this, Jerry, but there really isn't. The most effective way for killing voles or moles in your yard are really the traps. And the traps are big mechanical things that are dangerous, and they're a hazard to use. But other than that, there really is nothing that is effective for voles. You know, they're looking for insects. They're looking for invertebrates. They're in the ground looking for their food source, and they just make a lot of tunnels. So I don't have a good answer for that. I wish I did.
All right. Yeah, we get that from time to time for sure. Thank you, Jerry. Let's see. Let's go to Eden Prairie. I think Steve is waiting there to ask you a question, Mary. Go ahead, Steve. Mary's listening.
Hi, Mary. Good morning. See, I've got a question about honeysuckle. I've got potted honeysuckle on my deck in a wooden trellis. It's fairly large. And my question is, am I going to be able to winter that, or will it die out?
It will die in a container because the root system is too exposed, and all those roots will freeze solid, and that's too cold. They actually get much colder in a pot. Roots get much colder in a pot above ground than they do in the soil, and roots are nowhere near as hardy as the top of a plant. So you need, if you want to keep that plant, you need to either sink the whole pot into the ground, bury the pot and just leave the top of the plant above ground, or actually plant it outside. But it won't live in that container.
And the texter says this, Mary, should you cut all of your perennials down in the fall or wait and do it in the spring?
Oh, I'm so glad we got this question, Denny, because our recommendations have really changed on this. We used to recommend that people remove a lot of their perennials, but now we know that a lot of our native bees and pollinators actually overwinter in stems that are left up. And so we don't recommend cutting these back as much as we did before. The only exception is diseased plants. So if you have phlox with powdery mildew, or you have peonies that have botrytis blight, those big black brown spots on your peonies, you should cut diseased plants off and put those in municipal compost. But otherwise, I would not cut perennials back in the fall.
Okay. Back to the phones we go. Brooklyn Center, our next stop. Nona's calling in from B.C. Nona, you're on with Mary. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Good morning, Mary. I planted a variety of sunflower seeds in one little corner of my yard, and lo and behold, only three came up. However, this plant called Love Lies Bleeding came up, and I mean, it's gorgeous, but it looks like a overgrown weed, and I've got one that the trunk of it is the size of a fist. How do I get rid of this, and how did it ever come to be here in my sunflowers?
Unfortunately, it sounds like that may have come in with your sunflower seed. So that Love Lies of Bleeding, you have to make sure that, you remove that as soon as possible so that the seed doesn't upset and fall down in your garden location. So I would try to just be as vigilant as possible. It's an annual, so removing it so that it doesn't self-seed there. You know, your sunflowers may have been eaten off by birds or rodents. I didn't realize how many animals love to eat young sunflower plants. So I had planted some with my grandson, and I thought, oh, I saw them originally. I thought they looked great, and the next time there was nothing there because they were eaten by predators. So you want to be careful in watching them or using some protection so that they don't get eaten.
All right. I'm going to grab another call, Mary, and then we're going to get a bunch of text messages answered, too. I think Tommy's next up, calling from Minneapolis. Tommy, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning. Question on if I have to prune around the house, trees and such, to do maintenance, what is the best way to do that? And what's the best way to store canna bulbs over the winter?
So I would prune as little as possible right now. You said doing maintenance, so I don't know if you're painting your house or something like that. Pruning this time of year is really rough for plants. If you can wait until we're into more of total dormant conditions after the middle of November and so on, then it's okay. Storing cannas, you've got to bring those inside and, oh gosh, the conditions are really tough. High humidity and cooler temperatures. So we normally don't have much of these conditions in our homes. So, you know, 45 degrees in a cardboard box with some peat moss in a cool place in your house. We have a lot of information on storing tender bulbs. That's on our extension website up on the university's website with extension.unn.edu, and we have a nice publication on storing tender bulbs.
I'm glad you mentioned that again, Mary, because it is such a great website. There is so much information, extension.umn.edu. Just check it out if you haven't done so, and you'll be amazed. And there's a lot of labor of love that's put into that website too, Mary, I know. All right, let's see. A lot of text. Let's grab this one. Our arborvitaes are turning rust color inside. Should we be concerned?
Oh, I'm so glad the listener asked this question. This is the time of year that evergreens renew their foliage. And so the inner part of many of our evergreens are arborvitaes. We see this on pines. The inner part of the tree is brown. Those are the older needles. They are normally dying. The tips of the branches are still green, and that's where the new growth will be. So we see this every fall, and sometimes you can even see quite a layer of brown needles underneath our evergreen trees, but perfectly normal.
Okay, well, that's good news. Listener wants to know, getting tulip and hyacinth bulbs today, when should I plant them? When trench planting the hundreds of bulbs, how close together apart should they be? Maybe 2 inches apart? What do you think?
Yeah, 2 inches. That's okay. This is ideal time to be planting tulips, hyacinths, narcissus, the daffodils. Yes, you'll really enjoy seeing those in the spring, and this is the time to do that now in the fall. If we have dry conditions this fall, it's going to be very difficult for these bulbs. So I would recommend that they don't have to be watered immediately, because they will grow through October and develop their root systems now in the fall. But if we don't have any rain in the next 2 weeks, then I would water wherever you plant your bulbs.
I know we had a similar text just a bit ago, but this text says, we like to leave our perennials standing through the winter, but are there certain perennials that should be cut down before winter?
Just the ones that have disease. And for most people, the peonies Peonies get these big black spots this time of year, and that's botrytis, and that is perpetuated every year if you don't clean up that diseased foliage and get that out. So I would encourage people to cut back their peonies if they're not totally green and looking good. And also anything that has powdery mildew, that's the white covering, like phlox, monarda tend to get that. But if there's more green than disease, it's okay to leave them up.
All right. This text says, we live in west central Minnesota. Many of our carrots are split lengthwise. What would have caused that, do you think?
Split lengthwise. That may have been due to excessive water and just growing so rapidly. We had one of the wettest Julys ever, so I would say excessive water. That also might be a varietal trait. There may be some carrots that do tend to split more than others. So I would read up on what variety you have, and then that might make a difference.
All right. We'll take a quick break here. We have more show to come on our Smart Garden Show around every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Please stay with us. Welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Mary, let's grab a phone call, and we'll see how many text messages we could field as well. I think George is hanging in there. In Blaine, George, you're on CCO.
Yes, I would like to know about hibiscus. Can I bring them in over winter?
Yes, George, you certainly can. Hibiscus are a great plant to overwinter, and they will often flower even in Minnesota in the winter. They just need bright, sunny conditions. I would urge you, though, to make sure that they're clean of any insects. So wash them off. You can give them a good bath with a spray of water. Wash them off really well. They will need a lot of water and a lot of light indoors, but they're a really fun plant to grow in the winter.
You know, there's another text as well about the hibiscus, and they had heard that placing in a large heavy-duty bag for 24 hours and sprayed with a product to eliminate those insects. Would you recommend something like that?
I would if you can find a chemical that has that on the label as a way to treat a hibiscus plant. Many times you can wash off a lot of the insects. They're often aphids and white flies that you can wash off with a good spray of water. You can also use insecticidal soap. But that is another method if you can find that recommendation on the label of the chemical you're going to use.
A lot of hibiscus questions today. Here's a text that says, I have a row of old lilacs that I cleared out the old growth below. What can I plant underneath them that will do well?
Underneath lilacs would be something that can compete with tree roots or the shrub roots, and also can tolerate quite a bit of shade conditions. So that's going to be a fairly dry site that you're going to have there. So some of our ground covers like lamium, hostas actually might work because hostas are so really tolerant of dry soil conditions. Some of our other perennials like geraniums, there's European geraniums as well as our native woodland geraniums. So woodland wildflowers, some of those might work as well. So I would urge you to look online. We have some recommendations for planting under trees that are part of the best plants for 30 tough sites that you can find on the extension.unn.edu website. But there are plants that will work. That's kind of a tough location, but you could do it.
All right. Texter wants to know, can you tell me about milkweed? Some had flowers or seeds, and others just grew tall but nothing on them. Well, now they're turning yellow. What's up?
Yes, it depends on the health of the plant itself, how much food reserves it actually has to set seed. If it's well established and growing in full sun, then probably you will see those seeds. But I wouldn't give up on the plant because next year it might have seeds. And there are many different forms of milkweed. The common milkweed that we're used to seeing with its typical flowers and then fruit pods, but there also is a swamp milkweed. There's a narrow leaf form of milkweed. So there are other kinds, butterfly weed as well. And all of those are great for pollinators.
Okay. Texter wants to know, because you had mentioned it early, Mary, they want to know how they can access or get that lawn care calendar you were talking about.
So the lawn care calendar, there are actually two places where it is up online. On the extension.umn.edu page, there's a search engine. You can just put in lawn care calendar. I was looking at it this morning, and that will come up there. There's also a turf.umn.edu website, T-U-R-F. turf.umn.edu website, and one of the recent articles on that website was a lawn care calendar. So both of those show you the primary and secondary times to be doing the main things in your lawn, and also that depends on, you know, what kind of grass you have. So it should be easy to find online.
Online, that's it. All right.
Yep.
Texter says, I have a maple tree in my front yard, which is probably 3 years old, 30 feet high. It needs to be pruned. Can I do it now? So can maple trees be pruned right now, I guess, is the general question.
No, I would not do that right now. I would wait until the tree is totally dormant and the leaves are gone. So once the leaves are gone, anytime in the winter, you could do the pruning. And speaking of maple trees, we're seeing beautiful fall color on maple trees. This person probably has some fall color on their maple tree. The fall color this year, especially on maples, 10 days to 2 weeks ahead of normal. Mm. So the arboretum is a great place to see maple trees with fall color. And also, the Apple House is out there open. Denny, we haven't talked about the Arboretum yet, but a great place to visit.
Oh, and this time of year is my favorite year to visit, and the Apple House, as
right.
a matter of fact. I think we have time for maybe another one or two texts. Have a garden that's overrun with weeds. Can we kill off the entire garden by covering with black plastic now and start over next spring?
Well, if this was my garden, I would try to cut and remove the weeds that are there, because what's there on weeds this time of year are weed seeds. So all the seed heads, the flowers, that all those seeds are just going to drop and be there for next year. So if you can remove the weeds as much as possible, that is good. Now, the black plastic is a good way to get rid of weeds or to keep weeds from growing in the first place, but it basically works on solarization, which is a sunshine and heat underneath a plastic to kill the weeds. So going into the cooler months of the year, not a lot is going to happen under that black plastic. There's nothing wrong with putting it on now, but if you do have it on, it could reduce the amount of moisture that's there through the winter. I would consider using plastic next year, but right now, get in there and remove the weeds, especially the tops.
All right, we have about 20 seconds to go, Mary. So get to the Arboretum this weekend for sure, and check out the university website, which is what, Mary?
Yes, extension.umn.edu. You can see an update for what to do in the fall, identify weeds, identify insects that you have. Yes, extension.umn.edu. A visit to the Arboretum. The Arboretum is open. Get a ticket to go out there online. But the Apple
yes.
House, no oh. tickets required. It's open 9 to 6.
All right, we have to run. Thanks for your help, Mary. We'll talk soon. Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.